Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, great to be back with you guys. It's Thursday on the show. Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And obviously, you know, every couple of days now we have new January 6th hearings and we're getting little bits of information as they trickle out. It's been an interesting couple of days with what has come out and what we're expecting today, right? Like today we're expecting to see video shot by a British documentarian that was behind the scenes in the lead up to and on the day of January 6th. And we don't know what that's going to show. We didn't get a sneak preview of this, did we? I mean, I know that for previous hearings, they kind of put out a teaser, if you will, which is kind of odd. It's like a TV show. Here's what's coming up on next week's episode. But today, I don't think we've seen anything of that, but we are going to hear from the director of the documentary. And I believe they say they have some of the footage that they've been looking through. I don't know what it's going to be because, you know, we just know that it covers the time frame in the lead up to and in the day of January 6th.
And I believe this is going to be the last one until next month, correct?
Right,
like
right.
Then we're going to start to get more hearings in the month of July. And guys, we were talking, and we have been, I think, as a running topic, discussing the idea of what does it take to change somebody's mind? Mm-hmm. What matters to people? And there's a lot of striking testimony, I believe, that's happened, you know, over the first few hearings that we have seen so far. But one of them is from Gabriel Sterling, who you may know as one of the election officials. He works for the Secretary of State's office. He is a Republican. And he was the one who, right after the election, he gave a press conference, you know, in front of the steps, I believe it was the Capitol, you know, there in Georgia. And he was asking for a tone down of the rhetoric, a toning down of the rhetoric. Stop. You're going to get somebody killed, I think were his exact words, or at least something like that. He said something toward the end of his testimony the other day, earlier this week, that I thought was really, really interesting and illustrates exactly what we are talking about.
For lack of a better word, it was frustrating, but oftentimes I felt our information was getting out, but that there was a reticence of people who needed to believe it because the President of the United States, who many looked up to and respected, was telling them it wasn't true, despite the facts. And I have characterized at one point, it was kind of like a shovel trying to empty the ocean. And yes, it was frustrating. I even have, you know, family members who I had to argue with about some of these things, and I would show them things, and the problem you have is you're getting to people's hearts. I remember there's one specific, an attorney that we know that we showed and walked him through. This wasn't true. Okay, I get that. This wasn't true. Okay, I get that. This wasn't true. Five or six things. But at the end, he goes, I just know in my heart they cheated. That's just, and so once you get past the heart, the facts don't matter as much. And our job, from our point of view, is to get the facts out, do our job, tell the truth, follow the Constitution, follow the law, and defend institutions.
It's really interesting. And it's funny, you know, yesterday I hung out with my high school friends on the Glover Show for a few minutes. You guys were okay with that.
Yeah,
I got
fine.
Your permission. But we were talking about this at the end of the segment about the January 6th hearings. And Dave told the story of a friend that he knows. So he told this on the air, a friend of he knows that essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing what Dave said. So this is now like third hand. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I don't even care if they did what they're accused of. He's still my guy who represents my interest. I don't care if all of this is true.
Well, and I heard that segment. It was really good, very poignant and personal. And a phrase that he used that stuck with me is, I don't care, right, if he cheated because he's the only guy who, quote, will fight for my way of life. And I do think the way I interpreted that is that goes into the culture wars. That goes into not just policies and taxes, but your value system. That's appealing to your heart, your fears.
That's what Sterling was talking about.
Yes,
there, yeah.
The things you hold most dear.
And that bums me out, to be honest, because had And I voted for Obama. I voted for Biden, too. And I don't mind telling you, I think everybody kind of figured that anyway. If either of them had been guilty of doing this stuff, that is immediately disqualifying for me. And it is a massive, massive disappointment, because they may do what I want them to, and I wouldn't argue that they both did everything that I wanted them to, or even close to what I wanted them to. But even if that, I can't accept a person holding that office that doesn't hold the institution of the office at a high regard, to the point where if they lose, they can't just concede and say, okay, I lost, I'm sorry, I'm moving on, to where they try to subvert everything and make people in states like Arizona flip the count in their favor, or in Georgia, find me 11,700 votes or whatever it is. If I knew a guy or a woman I voted for did that, that is immediately disqualifying for me. I don't care what they stand for. I don't care what they do, what policies they have. I will find somebody who has similar policies and is also willing to be a good loser. You know, yeah. I'm sorry, but if we expect this, if you want to call it an experiment of democracy, if we want this to continue, we can't have people at any level, especially at that level, doing that stuff. So for me, if any of my people did that, they're out in my eyes.
And I wouldn't want to continue this conversation after the news, because what we're talking about is striking at our value system. And over the past few decades, we have seen the shared moral fabric of our country tear apart, right? It's the seams, the threads are being pulled apart. And so it's not just taxes and domestic or foreign policy. We're also, again, looking at value systems. That speaks to people's hearts. It also speaks to their deepest fears. And when you are being motivated by fear into a belief, it is hard to be reasoned
Americans
out of that belief.
.10:35 on the show on KMOX. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. You guys can always, we really do enjoy interaction, and we'll get to a lot of it both on and off the air. So if you want to text us, it's always open at 314-436-7900. And the voicemail line is always open as well, 314-944-1120. The only thing I would ask on the voicemails, as far as what has happened so far compared to what we would like it to be, I guess we would say just try to stay on topic. We get a lot of things that I've had an axe to grind about for years, and they want to leave that. And, you know, we're not going to throw off the show to do that. So, I mean, if it's something that's happening in the show, and whether it was last hour, next hour, whatever, that really, it could be anything you want within that. It's just hard if it's kind of random to work it in. So again, 314-944-1120. All right. So we got a text from the 314, and it was addressed to you, Ranj.
Yeah.
It could be addressed to, generally speaking, anybody that voted for Joe Biden. It is this: do you like what your president and your people have done to our country? That's the part I don't like. We'll get to that in a second. I love President Trump, and Biden is an embarrassment and a failure, in my opinion. And then said, no need to reply, really. We just disagree, and I can still listen, even if I don't agree with you, which I like that part.
I do, too.
There are parts in there that we can all, I don't like the our country, because it makes it sound like the country's supposed to be one thing versus another.
Yeah, well, okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were taking it
meant,
as
they mean
his country and not ours,
well, no,
but I don't
I
think
mean.
That's I don't think that's what he meant.
It's hard to read into it, so I wanted to interpret it both ways. Like, it could just mean like our, like including all of us, which is what it is.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that position this as if you're not on their side, you are not for their country.
Well,
and that's really, really, to me, at the root of what the problem is that we have these competing ideologies, and it's not about tolerance or acceptance. It's that my side is right and your side is wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, neither side is right or wrong. You are what you are. We can agree. We can talk. We can compromise. We can come together. But if your goal is total victory, it ain't happening.
It begins with labeling people real Americans. Mm-hmm. When you say that is real America, you are real America. There is no real America. All of us. An urban area. If you live in a town with a population of 50, wherever you live, you are in real America. if you're in the borders.
Well, it's all
if you're Hawaiian,
yeah.
If you're Alaskan, if you are from Colorado,
honestly, if
you live
Puerto
in
Rican
New York,
citizen.
Yes, if you're if you are in real America. So I that always bothered me, and I think that that may have been one of the things that kind of started that idea that it's us versus you. Like, you are either a real American or you are not.
Well,
like, you either believe what I believe or you're not a real American. That's nonsense.
The worst animadversions you could level at somebody is that they're un-American.
Yeah.
That, to your point.
Right.
But I do want to bring up again the culture wars, because it is, we are talking, I know a lot of people don't like the term culture wars, but it is a battle of what is our culture going to value, right? Like, which direction are we pulling? What's interesting, and David French of The Dispatch and The Atlantic has made this point a lot, is that both sides think they're losing the culture war and are feeling that that's under a desperate attack and about to collapse at any moment, that your value system is under attack. I'm going to bring this up because we just had the Supreme Court case yesterday in the Carson decision. A lot of people feel that religious liberty is under attack. We hear that in our ads. Religious liberty is under attack, end quote, right? And we feel that you will not be able to practice your faith. Well, if you look at the past few major Supreme Court decisions, they have ruled in favor of religious liberty. In 2017, they had the Trinity Lutheran Church case. And this happened right here in Missouri. It ruled that you could not exclude churches from public funding for a playground safety program because it's a religious institution. That ruled in favor of religious liberty. In 2020, you had the famous Espinoza case, and that ordered that Montana had to include religious schools in a tax credit funded private scholarship program, right? So it ruled in favor, saying, hey, you cannot exclude religious schools just because they are sectarian, no matter what their religion is. Well, yesterday, in a 6-3 vote, this was a major ruling that the state could not exclude religious schools in a tax credit for another funded tax credit funded private scholarship program, meaning we've had three major Supreme Court cases protecting religious institutions when it comes to publicly funded dollars, saying you cannot discriminate solely on the basis that this school has some type of sectarian teaching. But if you put that in perspective, and again, French pointed this out, you could argue that we have more religious liberty in this country right now, and I'm talking legally, right, than we've ever had in this nation's history. And if we have more religious liberty now in this nation's history, do you know that probably means we have more religious liberty now than we had at any other time in world history when you look at the pluralism of this country? So there is a difference between the culture becoming increasingly secular, which it is. We've seen the data. Fewer and fewer people are going to church. But that does not mean that our religious protections have been thus far inhibited. Now, does it mean you want to keep an eye on it? Sure, you can always keep an eye on it, but this Flight 93, you have to act now or everything you hold near and dear will fall apart. We're not there.
You should always, not you, but all of us, the general you, the royal you, should always be wary of voices that are always playing to your fears. You should always be wary of that. People fear is really powerful, right? I mean, it's something
and
that.
And so is anger.
Anger,
and it's
too.
They're the same thing in a lot of ways.
They're related,
yeah.
Right? Because fear often leads to anger.
Yep.
I mean, like, they are on the same path. And if somebody is always, and I'm not talking about any particular point of view. I'm talking about any point of view. If you're always hearing voices playing to your fears and your anger, you should be wary of that. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying there's nothing to it. I'm saying be aware, because some people do it because it makes them money. Some people do that because it keeps them relevant.
I'd say a lot of people do
good.
That.
Yeah, sure. And I'm not differentiating between ideologies on this. I think that there's a lot of it that goes on across the board. And I'm not saying that it's equal. I'm just saying that it exists in both ways. And we all need to be better consumers of information. So if you're like, I'll use a quick example of this. Like, I have family members, they forward all these ridiculous emails that once you go to Snopes or you fact check it, it's not real. It's an urban legend. And it always comes in like 17 point purple font
with underlined.
underlined
with exclamation points.
You're right.
And I reply to the whole list because it's all family members. We have a big family. And I reply all and I say, number one, here's the link showing you this is not true. Number two, when you get something that looks like this, mm-hmm. it's probably not real. We all need to be better at understanding and having a filter, if you will, for things that just seem to fit the pattern that would make you angry or fearful.
They do nothing but confirm your priors.
Right.
If someone does nothing but confirm your priors, then you think maybe there's something happening here. And to quickly to Wheeler's point, whether it's, you know, keep us divided and fearful for money or power. There was a really poignant moment on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Trevor Noah. And he was talking about apartheid in South Africa. And he said, if you have enough fear and desperation, you can get people to believe anything.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of it is economic. If things aren't going well for them, it's very easy to take advantage of that. If you're in a position of authority and say, yeah, all these things that are going wrong for you and the facts that you can't make ends meet, you know whose fault that is? It's these people over here that are taking that all from you. And what Kevin is talking about, and I think it speaks to a larger underlying problem in the country, generally speaking, and it's not just here. It does happen all over. Information diet, you're supposed to do well with your actual food diet, right? That'll keep you healthier. So will your information diet.
You mean I can't eat pizza every day?
You could.
No, but it's not good for me.
It is not good for you, though. Just like you can read, I don't know, greasefire.com all the time. And, well, I don't even know if that's a real thing. But like,
I
don't know. It might be something bad. Don't do that. But like we found this, there's a pedophile ring coming out of a pizza place. And so, like, look at a story like that sounds ridiculous and try to vet it for yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough people do that. I think they take, I knew she was evil. I knew it. And this story confirms what I'm talking about.
And let me say this, too. I'm not saying you can't be concerned. You hear the phrase that politics is downstream from culture. So if you see a culture that could be increasingly non-religious or hostile towards religion, if you feel that, you have every right to be concerned. My goodness, I was in the 80s a homeschooler who would keep eye on legislation in case the homeschooling got into legislation and they tried to regulate it or make it illegal or whatever, like they did in California. So you can keep an eye on legislation, but there is a profound difference between being concerned but also still trusting the checks and balances of our system and catastrophizing the direction that we're going, thinking my way of life will be destroyed tomorrow, versus we should all be vigilant on who we elect and what legislation is going on. I have no problem. I mean, I am concerned, right? But you can't say that every cut is fatal in the next 24 hours or you start taking desperate measures.
All right. So we did get a follow up from our texter that we had when he said our country. He meant everybody.
Yeah, that's how he said it.
And I just wanted to be clear because we didn't have the, it's hard to read in the text, right? Context is not there in a text and there's no blue font. So we can't tell if someone's exactly what they mean. So I'm glad there was a clarification there and that makes a good point. All right. So we'll get back to this. I'm sure at some point this topic's not going to be going away. If you ever want to get in, 436-7900 to text 944-1120 for voicemails. I'll tell you what's trending next up on the show.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.